One of the greatest in-season turnarounds I've ever witnessed is happening in Vancouver. A blip or the real deal? And what happens to that planned three-week break in February if the NHL does not participate in the Olympic Winter Games in Beijing? I've got a scoop for you. Plus, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, or if you want to get more modern, Tim Tebow, they don't have anything on Ryan Hartman. In the midst of a career start, the Wild forward shares an incredible story of athleticism. Or it's stories. You're not going to believe all the different sports that he's played at a very high level. Are you feeling it? It's the Chirp Podcast, and it starts now.
That's a disgrace! That's a disgrace! What a joke!
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
What are you going to do? You!
Ah! Shut up!
From Vegas, Chirp Podcast with Darren Millard. Got a little dusting of snow in the last couple of days around here. Somebody actually said they had to scrape their windows when they came into work. I won't do that. I have scraped enough windows in my lifetime. I will wait until the sun comes out and just burns it off. I'm looking forward to catching up with agitator turned goal scorer once again. Actually, Ryan Hartman had a great first couple of years in the National Hockey League when it came to filling the net, and he's back to doing that right now, on pace to eclipse that 19-goal career high. He will share with us a whole bunch of his exploits and experiences on the field of play and on the ice, and more importantly, how he gets under the skin of Patrick Kane when they face each other. But it doesn't occur on the ice. He doesn't beak him about a shot or anything like that, but it rather occurs on the golf course. And he'll walk us through that. A little bit of behind the curtain look at Patrick Kane. And of course, the Winter Classic coming up in Minneapolis, St. Paul at Target Field. We'll get into that appropriate. And we do appreciate that there's no late breaking news to muddle this week's episode. A week ago, right after we finished up our conversation with Ray Ferraro, talking about all the happenings in and around the NHL, including Vancouver's struggles, the Canucks announced that they had hired Jimmy Rutherford. Now we know that Jimmy Rutherford actually gave the go-ahead to hire Bruce Boudreau. The Aquilini's asked them, if you're not ready to give us an answer just yet, Jimmy, what do you think of hiring Bruce? And full blessing on that regard. So that's why the coach was actually announced before the general manager, because Jimmy wasn't quite ready at the time to sign on the dotted line. But Jimmy and Bruce are together, and what a turnaround in Vancouver. At the time of this recording, Vancouver is 5-0 since the change was made. And I'm never going to go by St. Louis and what happened with Craig Berube a couple of years ago, going from last to first and winning the Stanley Cup. That is the ultimate when it comes to any sport, National Hockey League or NBA, Major League Baseball, National Football League, to be able to do that mid-season. But I'm not going to lie, like, it was toxic in Vancouver. Those of you listening from the Lower Mainland or Canuck fans know all about it. Jerseys being thrown on the ice. It was just a bad place. It kind of been brewing for a while. It was right there. They win a couple of games, take the pressure off, and got into it, into consideration for a playoff spot, and then fall back. But this season just never really got on track. Maybe the hold up in the contract negotiations had a bearing in that, but it was as bad as I've seen. And Vancouver media, Vancouver fans, they can be influential in the mood in and around that city and that team as much as anybody. And I'll put Montreal in that mix as well. And when it turned south, there was just no turning back. And unfortunately, Jim Benning and Travis Green were the casualties of that. But the life that's been breathed into this team right now is fascinating to me. Bruce Boudreau has them playing some great hockey. They're getting up and down the ice. They're capitalizing. They've taken advantage of some teams that were playing on back-to-back nights, and they're going. And I don't know whether it's going to last, but I will say this. Vancouver's in the mix for a playoff spot in the Western Conference. You may have to look at the standings to really convince yourself of that, and not just going off of what you've heard about Vancouver and the dismal start, but they're right there. And if they can keep it going, not at a pace of 9-1 or 8-2 over 10-game stretches, but if they can get it going, they will be in the mix for a playoff spot. There's so much upside right now with that team and where they're going. Now, Edmonton, on the other hand, just when you think they've got it figured out, I don't know what's going on. In fact, both Alberta teams have slipped off, so much so that Vegas, through all their injuries, I think the Golden Knights are going to be a first-place team in the Pacific Division by Christmas. Top team in the Central is Minnesota. You know that by way of Kirill Kaprizov and what he's been able to do. But Dean Evason's group, they can do anything you want. They can play a finesse game. They can play in the back alley. They probably prefer the back alley. In fact, the big, strong, nasty team. And I would just love, this is my first wish this year in the playoffs, give me a Colorado-Minnesota first-round series. I think the Minnesota Wild would take it. I'm not sure about Colorado right now, but they're coming, playing great hockey at Ball Arena. But a big part of what Minnesota's been able to do is the rejuvenation of the goal-scoring skills of one Ryan Hartman. He's got sandpaper. We know all about that. But he's filling the net right now at a pace that we haven't seen since early on in his career. He just re-upped for 3 years, and I don't know whether he comes right out and says it, but I'm going to ask him about the hometown discount that he took and the strategy in the negotiations. He's going to score more than 20 goals this year, and he's making less than $2 million a year. You've got the Winter Classic. Looking forward to that, and plus all the different sports, including a field goal kicker. He was a field goal kicker. Here's Ryan Hartman on The Chirp with Darren Millard. As we get into this thing, is that a beanie or a toque that you're wearing right now? I know what I call it.
Yeah, I'm both. Depends who I'm talking to, honestly. The Canadians are all toques. And then seem like the Americans don't know what the hell you're talking about when you say toque. So depends who you're talking to.
Seems like a pretty easy thing to get your head around. No pun intended. It's a toque.
I guess so. I've grown up saying beanie.
Yeah?
I try to cater to everyone's needs.
Oh, you're very accommodating.
Yeah.
Are you like that with coaches too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. You've played with some good ones. Now you've got Dino here. How does Dean differ from maybe Q?
I mean, a lot. I've got them at different stages of my career, so I might be more matured and I see different points that they make, as you get older, and you can kind of relate a little more as in you're young and you don't get some things they're trying to portray. And then, now that I've played, in this league for a few years, you kind of understand maybe what some things that Q was yelling at me about that I maybe didn't quite understand at the time, like turnovers and, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a little, they're both pretty animated. I mean, Q relatively quiet for the most part until he gets fired up or it's a big game or it's, a ref bad call. He's had his fair share of quiet moments with the ref. But Dino too, he's like, every big goal he's jumping around and pushing our coaches around and all in good fun, but he's great.
Yeah, the celebration with the coaches on the Wild, like that's a physical act.
Yeah, they gotta make sure they're prepared and stretched for the game, and they gotta make sure they're ready because you never know what's gonna happen on the bench.
You're at a point, you mentioned you've been around for a couple of years, that you seem to be solely focused on one thing, and that's winning. Did that really go into the contract that you signed?
I mean, it has a lot to do with it. Like, you see the way this team's going, the trajectory that we're going, the progress we've made since I've been here. Obviously, Billy Guerin coming in, and that's been his motive this whole time. I've been around on different teams, and I've been mostly contending teams except for maybe Philadelphia when I was there for a short time, and it's not fun being on teams that don't make playoffs. And I like I was saying, I knew what we had here. I really wanted to stay here. I made it a point to want to be here, but winning is the biggest part. Guys talk about numbers and all that stuff, but you win a championship and everyone gets paid. Everyone likes a winner. So that's kind of the biggest thing in my mind.
Did you leave money on the table?
Not here, that's for sure. I maybe could have gone somewhere else and and made some money, maybe more, maybe less. I know with COVID going on, who knows? Like, you know, free agency market, you see a lot of guys that were signing PTOs that would have had a contract in any other scenario without COVID. So with that question mark, it was more, I don't know. We talked a lot. A lot went into it. I've chased bigger numbers in Nashville and, just some stuff like that. But I think COVID was the biggest thing, and not knowing exactly where teams stood or what the salary cap was going to look like, how many games we might even, if the league was going to get shut down again, and then I'm sitting there without a deal, it's not settling. So that had a lot to do with it.
How involved are you in negotiations when you're going through a contract?
I mean, it's a lot of, talking between, the agents, kind of like the mediator, kind of sitting in the middle and, working both sides and talking to Billy and Billy talking to him to tell me this and that. And, then me and Billy had some sit down conversations too, in person. Then those are, just kind of, what are your thoughts? Yeah, obviously I've heard from your agent. Sometimes maybe agents say stuff that not necessarily you wanted to say or how you meant it, sometimes it don't go across the right way. It was a good talk the whole time. We came up to him pretty early in the year, last year. We knew the off season that we had as a staff, signing Erickson Eck, Kaprizov and Fiala. Those are three guys pretty high in the priority list above me. So we talked a lot about trying to get something done before they got that. And hopefully it helped, with them, they had numbers set and they knew what the team was going to look like next year.
That was a huge step last year that your organization took. I wasn't sure that you were necessarily ready to enter that window of Stanley Cup contender, but then you go seven games against Vegas and it's an awesome season. Are you now in that category of Stanley Cup contender?
I mean, I think so. I mean, I think every team in this league believes it, but it's how, the season goes. Like, some teams may think they are, and they look 10 games in and they've won, three or four games. That's not necessarily contending.
But Ryan, like, a lot of guys will say the politically correct, like, we hope we are, we want to be there at the end of the day. They kind of couch it a little bit. Other organizations are, yeah, we're in this thing to win it, and it's going to be disappointing if we don't.
100%. I think every guy in our room would be disappointed if we didn't. We have a lot to prove. We know what we have in our locker room, not just on the ice, it's off the ice. It's how accountable everyone is, how we play together. We might not be the craziest skill team if you go up and down the numbers, but we play the game the right way. Like, I've told some other people, I've talked to, I get texts all the time through the year being like, wow, you guys look good, you guys are great, and all this stuff. And it's just like, I would always tell them, like, I would hate to play against us. Like, it'd be so frustrating just, when we do, because we do, it happens to everybody. We do have our hiccups and where we don't play like ourselves and we turn the puck over and, we give up stupid goals, and that's going to happen. But when we were committed and we play the way that we've been told to be played by Dean and play to our system and buy into that system, and we can beat anyone in this league.
How would you handle playing against Ryan Hartman?
That'd be, I don't know. That'd be a lot of going at it. There's a few guys that play the similar way in this league, and I think we always kind of butt heads.
So what would be the biggest challenge of facing you? Describe yourself. I've had others in doing some lead up to the conversation, and it's fascinating how there's a wide range of descriptions about your game.
Yeah. I would be a hard time not to two-hand myself in the back of the legs or something. But, yeah.
What about the goal scoring right now? Does it look like a soccer net?
It doesn't, no. Definitely not after the last couple of games. I missed some open nets. I don't know. It's things have been going well, and I've been shooting the puck a lot more, Billy, I talked to Billy a lot last year, and there are some moments where I passed up, you know, I try to make a pass or try to make a fancy play when I had an open lane at the net. And he pretty much, you know, he told me, he's just like, listen, like, you're not going to wow anyone with your passing skills or necessarily, like, you might be able to, you know, but you when you shoot the puck, there's a better chance of you scoring than if you're trying to make a passing play through a body or through somebody's legs, you know. I've always, you know, prided myself in being a good shooter. And so, yeah, I think I'm just shooting more.
It sounds like you talk to Billy a lot.
He's around. No, he's around a lot. He's always around the room. You know, last year was different with COVID and the restrictions. We didn't see him too much. But yeah, he's always around talking to guys, you know, sending texts to guys when things are either going well or going not so well. He's very, very vocal, he's not far removed from playing, you know, he's maybe sometimes he just misses the locker room. You know, that could be it too, but, he's definitely, for the GMs that I've played with in the past, around a lot more.
Who's texted you lately talking about how good you guys are and how tough you guys are to play against?
besides like my family, like, you know, my agent,
do guys around the league text you?
I'm close with Phil Deneau. Mm-hmm. From LA. We played together in Rockford and we black aced in 15 with the Hawks together. Talked to him quite a bit. Hinostroza. Obviously the buddies that are around. We got the Winter Classic coming, so there's a lot of people coming up for that. But yeah, I mean, there's a handful, you know, Luke Cunningham, some ex-teammates that were here in Minnesota, but there's a fair share.
Okay, this goes to the passing or shooting question. Would you rather be Connor McDavid going through the Rangers or Trevor Zegras setting up Sonny Milano? Which play do you want to make?
Probably McDavid. You know, obviously that play, both plays were awesome. I feel like you can make the play with McDavid's play more so than you would with Zegras's play.
One guy went through five guys.
Right, but that's, I feel like that situation is there way more than having, you know, having a time to have a snack behind the net with no one pressuring you. you know, I think that, you know, you can, that skill set's way more impressive to me, I think.
Are you a pretty chill guy off the ice? Because I only get to see you on and in the heart of the battle.
Yeah, I'm really just, you know, I'm not chill. Like, I like to be active and do stuff. And I'm an outdoor, I hunt and fish, and that kind of calms me down, I guess, you know, being outside with nature and all that kind of stuff. But it's not like I'm running wild all the time. And yeah, I'm pretty laid back.
You don't ice fish, do you?
I have. It's not my favorite.
This might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's people going out and sitting in a shack and cutting a hole in the ice and just sitting there all day.
Yeah. Well, my girlfriend's dad's got a two-story ice house on the lake up here in Minnesota, and it's got TVs, and it's not really like ice fishing.
Okay, I can do that. If you got a game on or something, I can do that.
Oh yeah. No, we got the movies on, we got whatever, and it's not like you're sitting on the ice freezing your ass off, but it's a glamorized ice fishing, that's for sure.
You look over after 3 hours, hey, the bobber's gone.
Yeah, well, they got these fancy machines, these things that go in the water, so you know exactly if there's a fish coming or not. It's pretty impressive.
That sounds easier than going to my corner store or my supermarket and getting a fish.
It's like a video. It is like a video game. Yeah, it doesn't even feel real.
What do you think of the Winter Classic? What's your gut? What's your heart? What's your head's telling you about what's going to happen?
I'm excited. Who knows what the weather, you know, it could be negative 20. It could be, you know, hopefully it's not, it's supposed to rain here today. But I played in the one in St. Louis and it was like 55 and raining. So that wasn't ideal. I'm hoping for a nice, you know, 25 degree day, maybe a little snow. That'd be ideal.
Yeah, producer Bob and I were both at the St. Louis one too, and we only wore the winter jackets for when we were on camera, and then we had to take them off because it was too warm.
Well, we had to turn the heaters off on the bench too. because they have the heaters on to keep us warm and stuff. And I was like, it's 55 degrees. It's warmer than it is in most ice rinks.
So Target Field baseball, have you ever been to Target?
I've watched baseball games there, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be pretty neat the way it's going to be set up.
It'd be really cool. Like I said, my first one was on the road. It would be cool to have one at home.
What's too cold for you for a winter classic?
I don't know. Probably anything in the negatives. I mean, even like a -5 wouldn't be terrible, but you got to think with the wind and your face exposure. I'm trying to think back as a kid, like when, like we wouldn't go out if anything was too cold. I don't think anything was too cold back then, but probably anything closer to -10 would be pretty cold, but we got the heated benches and all that. So nothing to worry about.
Have you told or talked to Kaprizov about it at all?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. No details. If he's excited about it?
Yeah.
I'm sure he is. We haven't really gone into the detail about it. I'm sure he's excited.
What's he like?
He's hilarious.
Really?
He's really funny. Sometimes it's hard for him to get his words across and explain what he's trying to say, but his English has gotten really good. And he seems like a young kid just enjoying hockey. You know, he's always making jokes on the ice. You know, sometimes he's more serious when things aren't going probably well for him, but all around he's a pretty laid back guy.
Where does he fit into like the wow factor? Do you ever find yourself sitting on the bench, jaw drop?
Well, it's his compete level. Honestly, it's like, you know, you got a lot of skill guys in the NHL. You got a lot of guys that can score goals and wow you. But it's how hard you can, like.
He's got like, some bite.
That's what I mean. He's in your face. He'll hit you. He doesn't lose a lot of battles. Like if there's a 50-50 battle, you can probably put a lot of money that he's going to come out with the puck. You know, his edge work is the way he, you know, defenders kind of try to push him. They kind of just, you know, he'll put his back on you, you know, and the defender will try to push him and they'll kind of just ride up his back and he'll sneak under your arm and get around you. Like he's just the little things he does. I think on the physical side of the game, wows me the most.
How often do you get to play with him? Power play, regular lines?
I'm centering him and Zuccarello. We've been centering for most of the year, and I think the last 5 games got switched over to that power play, so I'm on the ice with him quite a bit.
If you could steal one thing from Kaprizov, what would it be?
His edge work, the way
he does that little tomahawk thing,
definitely that.
And it looks like he picks up speed while he's doing it. Football, there's some history there with you. Could you have been decent at it?
I played 1 year. Me, Vinny Hinestroza, and our quarterback, Jimmy DeVito, we all 3 of us played hockey together. I used to block for Vinny. But he was too fast for me. He'd pass me by the line of scrimmage, so there wasn't much. Then throwing me out the tight end to give me a little head start.
What drew you to football, or what did you like about it?
I mean, my uncle played, my mom's sister's husband. He played at Alabama, and then he played a few years in the NFL, maybe like a year and a half, on and off. But so I've always been interested, and I played baseball, soccer, hockey, mostly baseball and hockey. And then my 2 teammates in Chicago that played hockey were like, the dad of one of the kids was the coach, and he's just like, hey, we need another body. If you want to play, you don't have to practice, just show up to the games. But that's what we do. We just obviously play hockey and then show up to games. And it was us 3. We're like, you know, we never came off the field. I kicked field goals and punted as well. Played defensive lineman, and I like the physical part of it. My 7th grade year, it was their 8th grade year because I'm a late birthday. But since we weren't so committed, like we weren't going to practices, we couldn't play in the highest. There was like gold and silver, so we had to play silver. and we're all three pretty good athletes, so we kind of beat up on a lot of teams.
You kicked field goals in grade 7?
I did, yeah, and punted.
Could you kick it through?
Yeah, I mean, I made a couple 35-yarders.
Really?
Oh, yeah. My dad, yeah, this is a funny story, but he'd bring me down to the football field, you know, like after hockey practice or before practice, and make me kick field goals all day. He had like a little, we used an old Halloween hand, one of those little ones you press the button that had that crawl.
Yeah.
And he'd set it up on like, I don't know, whatever he could find. And that was what held the football. And he'd go down to the field goal and I'd kick field goals all day. Told me if hockey didn't work out, I was going to be a place kicker.
What kind of punter were you?
I mean, pretty good. I mean, that at that age, extra point by kicking a field goal was 2, and going for 2-point conversion was only 1 because no one kicked field goals. So, you know, we had an advantage because no one kicked field goals. I was the only
kid awesome.
That knew how to kick field goals. Yeah, no, it was fun, and punting was good too. I mean, like again, my dad was making me. He thought I was going to be a kicker in football if hockey didn't work out because he played.
So that soccer. That was the original plan, kind of thing, like the backup
college,
plan.
College soccer, so I guess that was my backup plan.
Wow, I had no idea. So a little bit of soccer too.
Not till like I stopped playing when I was like 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't physical enough. We got another little. We have an old kid that I used to play soccer with that became like a linebacker at Toledo, big, and you could just tell he was not made for soccer. He was always hitting kids, and parents were getting fights at the games, and it was like, all right, we're done. You're going to football. You're going into hockey.
Football and hockey are the safer, more calmer options. I don't think I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
So how did you get into hockey? What drew you?
My dad played when he was young. He's always loved the game of hockey. He was just better at soccer. He was only, I think he was like a $110, $120 going into college his freshman year. Mm-hmm. Probably came out around 210 pounds, but maybe not that
he
high.
Doubled he, the size.
He was close. He came out. He liked his beer. I think he.
Yeah. What are they serving there in that cafeteria?
But when they're playing soccer, you know, they're running miles and miles a day. It's not like he was overweight, but he hit a late growth spurt. But yeah, so he was always into hockey, and I started playing when I was really young. No one in my family else played hockey. We had a rink close to our house, and just kind of got into that. You know, I think I was a better baseball player. I played baseball, you know, forever. And I'd spend my summers at the beach. I'm from South Carolina originally. So I'd spend my summers down there. And then eventually it was just like, okay, well, if you really want to play baseball, you got to start playing here in the summers. So I play fall ball and all that. And I was like, I don't want to play if I can't go down to the beach, you know, so. So I became hockey and then get my summers off.
Oh, that's beautiful. So the beach determines your outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is Patrick Kane have the best shot you've ever seen, or who's got it?
I mean, no, I don't think his shot's even that great. Like, it's not that hard. It's just the way.
No, it's not, but it's.
It's so deceptive, and it's so.
He can put like, it right there.
Yeah, but it's not like the puck's not a perfect. Like, if you look at the slow-mo, the puck's, you know, I think it's just he has so much respect with everything he does. They like goalies don't know if he's passing it, if he's shooting it low or shooting it high. And so I think that's the biggest part is just his deceptiveness and is the respect that everyone has. Like, I always say the worst thing you can do as a defenseman is give him time and space. But if you try to take his time and space away, he makes you look stupid. So it's like, what the hell do you do? You know?
So what do you do when you play him?
I just try to be hard on him. Take his stick away. There isn't much you can do, you know, he's going to do what he does regardless. You just got to do the best you can to limit his opportunities.
Can you chirp him, or is he on a level where you kind of leave him alone?
I chirp his golf game, honestly, on the ice. We belong to the same club in Chicago. So we play a handful of times. We didn't play it all last summer, but I can't really chirp too much about his hockey game.
Can you beat him in golf?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fine. Like he didn't get into golf, you know, till a handful of years ago. Definitely not like the beginning of his career, but you can tell he's a perfectionist and doesn't like being bad at anything. You know, we play golf. This was when I was still with the Hawks, we go out there and he'd be at the range an hour before we'd play 18. And then, I'd be heading out. He'd go back to the range. He just couldn't stand like not being good or the best at something. You know, he had to be the best, and he's still taking lessons all summer, and he plays with his old man a lot. I could still definitely beat him. He shoots around mid-80s, low 80s.
And where are you? What's your cap?
I'm a 2-3 right now, so I'm in like the 70s most of the time.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Buddy, from
Hilton Head, I better be freaking good at golf.
That's true, but like we've talked baseball, we've talked football, we've talked soccer and golf. What is it that you can't do? What sport that you can't do? Can you ski?
Not great at basketball.
Not great at basketball?
No, I can't jump. No, not great at basketball.
Would you rather be Steph or Michael if you had to be one of the two?
Michael, all day.
Because Steph's got the flair.
Yeah, but he's not Michael.
Championships?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, they both got championships, but
they both do. Yeah, but Michael owns shoes, essentially. He owns freaking, he's got his own golf course. He's got, it's hard to compete with that.
You got the hat on right now, but you got some good flow. And it was really good early on in your career. Like that's what I saw and went, that guy's got hair.
Long. It was really long early in the career. Yeah. Honestly, I haven't, I get my hair cut by the same guy in Chicago. And when I'm not there, I usually hope that we go to Chicago early in the season so I can go see him. But we haven't been. So it's been growing out right now.
So you don't get a cut outside of when you go to Chicago?
No. I have before, but I don't like it.
Was it a disaster?
It wasn't a disaster by any means. It's not the same. The guy I go to he's a wizard at what he does. So I tend to stick with him.
Okay, before we let you go, you walk into a salon. They say, "What do you want?" You take off the toque, the beanie, and they say, "Oh, what do you want us to do?" What do you tell them?
My guy or in general?
In general. So you can walk into a brand new place. How do you tell them that you want your flow to go?
Well, now it's just, I usually tell them I like cut it, but I'm trying to grow it out. So don't like, so usually it's I'm trying to shape it. And it's kind of a weird thing to say when you're trying to get your hair cut, but you're also wanting to grow it out, you know?
Yeah.
So it's usually just like, yeah, clean everything back here up. You know, I don't want it to be hanging out anywhere, but I still want everything up top and on the sides to be the same length, or you can maybe clean up the ends a little bit, but I like the top to be really long.
Where do you guys finish this year in the Central?
And hopefully first. I mean, that's the goal. I think we got the team to do it, and we got, we're trying not to lose two in a row. Obviously that happened, last game, but I think, you know, we're planning on finishing first.
And those games against Vegas, you played them 17 times in 1 year. Is that too much or is that fun?
Is that what it was?
17 times in 2021 with the last season, the playoffs, and then this year.
From the start of this year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can probably say it both ways that we don't like each other from either side. I don't think we're fond of each other. I mean, you can put any two teams against each other 17 times and they're going to hate each other. So you can say we're not too fond of each other.
If you tune into one team to watch, then who is it? Do you go teams or do you go buddies or do you go stars?
Yeah, I'm trying to debate because I definitely watch games just because I got buddies playing. Mm-hmm. If there's a good matchup, I remember like the Matthews lining matchup earlier in their careers. And like the newer draft picks when they play each other, I think like a Colorado Edmonton or a Colorado. I was like seeing McKinnon play. Mm-hmm.
any of the Tampa games, you know. But I'd say more star power than anything.
Are you allowed to chirp buddies? Like, you send them a text saying about a game that they played?
I mean, yeah.
Like, would you do that to Phil?
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely gone back and forth with face-offs and stuff. We always have, like, I haven't done it with him, but, like, me and Bonino have some wagers when we play on face-offs.
How are you coming out of that? Who throws out the bet?
Well, I initiated it, and I went 0-12 on the face-off dot in the game in San Jose and then won the last draw of the game. So that's how my night went.
So did
it was not fun.
And are you betting the whole time against them?
Yeah, $20 a draw.
Who's keeping track?
He took me to the cleaners. Well, we got the scorecard afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. And I still have Venmo request from him after the game.
That was my next question. How do you pay up? This has been fun. Love getting to know you. Love watching your game. It's so cool because you've got everything going. Well, how many goals? What do you have for a number this year?
You can't do that to me.
Come on.
I don't know.
Are we breaking 19? Are we doing that?
I think we're close. Yeah, we're close enough. Let's hope so.
25.
Sure.
I should have went 30 then.
I'm going to say yes to every number you say.
Okay. I'm going 38. That's what I'm going to settle on.
Sounds great.
Thanks for doing this, pal.
Yeah, no problem.
Say hi to Dino for us.
Will do.
Cool dude. I've never talked hair with a guest before on this podcast. Hartman in the Wild set to play the Winter Classic at Target Field. The road to the Winter Classic, it runs every Wednesday after the TNT broadcast. So tune in to that. It's a night game on New Year's Eve this year. So under the lights at Target Field. Minnesota Wild did lose a couple in a row and actually had a game postponed recently because of COVID protocols. So things have kind of got back into a serious state when it comes to COVID around the National Hockey League. Several teams dealing with outbreaks and some tougher protocols, some tougher restrictions, I think, are on the way for the National Hockey League just to try and get a handle on what's happening right now. And then you've got the whole Olympic plans. And I know that that's a fluid situation, depending on what day it was. A week ago, I would have told you 110% the National Hockey League players would be going to Beijing for the Olympic Winter Games. And now I don't know. And I can't tell you yes or no with any definity. I just don't know. But it's certainly the needle has moved towards the safer side and not going. And if they don't go, keep in mind, there's that 3-week break in the schedule in February for the National Hockey League, right after the All-Star break, where the league will take a pause to acknowledge and participate in the Olympic Winter Games. If the National Hockey League and its players don't go to Beijing, what happens to that 3-week gap in the schedule? There's going to be an extended break, whether it's 10 days or 14 days, 2 weeks. If you want to look at it that way, like there's going to be an extended break regardless of the NHL's participation, a bye week plus that we've seen in the past. But there's no way, the National Hockey League, without participating in the Olympics, completely shuts down for 3 complete weeks. And whether it's every team plays in that 3rd week or they make up some games that have been postponed here and leading into January or dot the schedule with a handful of games, there will be action in that 3rd week. I am extremely confident in that, in doing a bit of poking around and doing some research. There's just so many games in the back end that why would anybody, the players, the teams themselves, the league, ever want to let that go to waste, given that that you might be able to ease off some of the workload in March and April, in when things are getting really jammed up when it comes to the schedule, or if you can play some of these postponed games. But if it doesn't happen with the Winter Olympics, don't expect a complete 3-week break of National Hockey League action. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll also focus on the Winter Classic and the stretch drive before Christmas. I think just one more episode before the big day. We'll be back with you just before the holidays. Thanks to Ryan Hartman, producer Bob, and thanks to you. Give us a like, give us a shout out. Love to hear from you what you enjoy about the podcast and maybe somebody you'd like to hear from as we work our way through the season. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week on The Chirp with Darren Millard.